We've been doing a series on the book of Romans. And today I get to build, especially on what Andrew shared last week, and I told him I really appreciated his teaching. For those of you who are visiting, our model here at Hope is that we have a teaching team, and really I'm building on even what Jeff, Steve, George, and Scott have already taught on. And we're in Romans 4, verses 9 to 12 today. And as I've studied this, and one of the things that all of us that teach or encourage us to ask the Lord is, Lord, what do you want me to teach out of the passage that I'm studying? And one of the things that came home to me very powerfully as I studied this portion on circumcised and uncircumcised, not a topic that's very easily taught on, but what am I building on? And in the last few chapters, Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, has been relentlessly pounding home this theme. By grace through faith alone. By grace through faith alone. Say it with me. By grace through faith alone. We here at Hope and other believers who really diligently want to follow Christ all over the world believe that is a very foundational doctrine for us to believe. Paul said it in Romans 3:21, a righteousness apart from the law. Romans 3:22, a righteousness through faith. Romans 3:28, man is justified by faith apart from the law or works. Romans 4:5, Andrew said this last week, that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness, his faith. And we're going to pound it home again today. And hopefully at the end, we want to ask ourselves, why does God want to pound this home to us? It's essential in the Christian life. Now, a month or so ago, a very popular sports newscaster, commentary, whatever you want to do, made this statement over a certain situation that was happening in the sports world. The Bible really is irrelevant today. The Bible really is irrelevant today. My first reaction was, I'll leave it at that. But really, as I think through from God's point of view and heart, what else do I expect from someone who doesn't know God? My main concern was after that thought is, those of us who are in Christ, what do we think? Because the world can think anything they want. I'm going to go by Scripture. I'm going to go by what God says. And we don't want to get to the place where we allow the world to influence us. This book is far from irrelevant. It is the most relevant book ever written. And as Jeff was talking back a few weeks ago, the brokenness of this world, and we see it everywhere, is because we do think this book is irrelevant. But not for us as Christians. Oh, that's my prayer. That we would recognize these are the words of God. And I want to kind of illustrate that by just giving you a little picture. I'm going to go out this door and I'm going to come back in. Excuse me, I have this cough in my system today. So how do we enter the kingdom of God? By faith. Grace through faith alone. That's something you want to remember. even if you want to put it to a song. By grace through faith alone. Something to remember. That's how we enter. God gives us an invitation through his Son. And he says, all you who are weary, come to me. Come and be healed, redeemed, purchased, forgiven. So I believe that story of Christ. And I come into his kingdom. And I begin to realize all that he is and all that he's done for us. And then I learn there's 66 rooms that I can go in and learn all about God. One room is Deuteronomy, Colossians, Zephaniah. We learn marvelous things about God. And we've entered into this room of Romans that is an essential book for us to learn. They're all important. But what we learn in the 16 chapters of Romans helps us, if we believe it and act upon it, we will be able to endure any storm that comes. By grace, through faith alone. And we've been talking about last week. Andrew took us to chapter 4 and began to bring a living character into the story of by faith, by grace through faith alone. Paul says, look at Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He received eternal life because of his faith in what God was going to do. We look back at the cross and believe and receive eternal life because we believe in what Christ did from the past. And it's our privilege now as followers of Christ to follow him. Let's turn to Romans chapter 4. Verses 9 to 12. Here's what verse 9 says. Is this blessedness only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? I could say it a different way. Is this blessedness only for the Jewish nation? Or is it for the Gentiles as well? What's the answer to that? Yes, this blessedness is for the Jew and the Gentile, just like we were in chapter 1. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to all. First to the Jew, because the Jewish nation is the one who brought this story to us, and then to the Gentile. So the first question about this blessedness is, yes, it's for everyone. But what is the blessedness? This is again where we're in the room of Romans and we're looking at the wall of chapter 4. And we go over to the shelf and we see blessedness. And we go back to what Andrew taught last week. And this blessedness is forgiveness of sins. Now we could camp out just here on that forgiveness. What does it mean to be forgiven by God Almighty? We know this, it's by grace through faith alone. I'm not going to take the time to study forgiveness. In order for us to understand the scope of God's forgiveness, we would have to go into all 66 rooms and study everything that God says about forgiveness. and it is marvelous. I'm still in the process of learning that. But I'm convinced of this. If I understand the forgiveness I've been given by my Father through Jesus Christ, then forgiveness this way is a piece of cake. I'm still in process of learning this so that I can pour out the forgiveness that I received to others who come against me or injure me. That's crucial. I'm not going to camp on that forgiveness. But these are the things that we can do as followers of Christ as we get into His Word. We want to ask all the questions on forgiveness. What does it really mean? How do I obtain it? How do I give it away? And God will help us do that. But what I want to do as we study this passage is not only realize, as Andrew did last week, this by grace through faith alone, I want to bring in a live person, Abraham. Paul now says, I want to bring in an event that this person, Abraham, experienced. So, let's read on. I'll go back to verse 9. Is this blessedness only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? Yes, it's for all. We have been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Remember the example that Andrew gave last week about working and making wages that are due him? All right, that's based on works. Our salvation is not based on works. Under what circumstance was it credited? And really, Paul lays out a beautiful argument here to help us understand. Was it after he was circumcised or before that he was credited righteousness? It was not after, but before. In other words, in somewhere about 12 years there, that God called Abraham, and by faith, he left and followed and trusted in the promise that he was given. Later, he was circumcised. And the scriptures are saying here, faith came first, and that's where the meat of our salvation is at. It was not after, but before. Verse 11, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness he had by faith, while he was still uncircumcised. We can kind of, again, we talked about making the law as works, the things that we do to please God. They will not merit us salvation. Circumcision did not merit Abraham salvation. It was faith. Pretty clear? All right. God wants us to get this. He's pounding it home to us. And I want to bring this point in. He received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith. Some people try to make circumcision and baptism equal. There's a lot of similarities with the two. A lot of good word pictures. But circumcision was part of the old covenant. Baptism today is part of our new covenant. And the new covenant is far better than the old covenant. So don't just make them equal. I want to try to help us understand that. Circumcision was an act that God commanded for all males to cut away from the male organ, the male reproductive organ, the foreskin that was there. Now, I have a lot of questions that I want to ask God when I see him on why he picked that. There are a few that, first of all, it set them apart from any other nation. As a matter of fact, when Moses finally agreed to follow God and come back to Egypt and rescue his people, he had a circumcision done, and his son and his wife said, "You're barbaric and bloody," because she didn't understand it. But God was saying, "I want to set you apart from every other nation in the world." Now today, it's most common that most male babies receive that in the hospital. It's not as significant. But back then, in the Jewish culture, it absolutely was significant. It set them apart. And right here in this chapter, Paul helps us understand that it is both a sign and a seal. We are God's. For us in the New Testament, who understand that it's by grace through faith alone on the work of Jesus Christ, God commands us to be baptized. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that as well. We're going to get into that in chapter 6. But again, let's take the words that he uses. It's a sign and a seal of what has happened in our hearts, because that's what Paul wants us to understand with Abraham. Let me go on and read this. "So then, he is the father of all who believe, but have not been circumcised, in order that righteousness might be credited to them," basically us Gentiles. "And he is also the father of the circumcised, who are not only circumcised, but also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised." And what we're doing here is we're talking about not only the act of physical circumcision, but the act of circumcision of the heart. That is the true remnant of Israel, those who have set their lives apart to follow God. Let me say it this way. In the Old Testament, every male was to be circumcised, but not every male that was circumcised and Jewish followed God. Romans is going to talk about that again. There's a remnant. There are people who were truly circumcised in the heart that followed God. And now we, us Gentiles, Romans says, have been grafted in to this special remnant, his people. And we need to see that we are his people, based on grace through faith and not our works. God clearly spells this out. Why does he spell it out? Why does he want us to know this? I want to give you what I believe is crucial here in this passage and through all Scripture. He's pounding it home because a lot of times we let this truth go right over our heads when it comes to living it practically. I'm not sure we are truly getting it, what God has in mind for us to get. I have a little illustration. I want to try to be careful because I don't want you guessing which child of mine this fits with. Each of us have learned when we raise our children that they're all different. They have to be taught different, they hear different, they need to be disciplined different. And one of my children, whenever I was trying to teach or discipline, sometimes lecture, I would hear this after a while. "Okay, okay, okay, okay." Now, if you missed that, let me slow it down for you. "Okay, okay, okay, okay." Four times. I want you to say it with me because I want to do something and give you a little practice. Say it with me now. Okay, 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 okay. Now, when I start you out, you say it four times, and I'm going to show you what LaWayne and I finally recognized and interpreted what my child was really saying to me, okay? All right, here we go. How do we receive God's chastening or discipline or lecturing to us? Okay, 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 okay. It's by grace through faith alone. Now, let me build on this a little bit because this is so powerful. There are many, many people who say, I'm a Christian, and don't believe it's by grace through faith alone. We need to do something to merit eternal life. And I'm not going to pick out any particular group that share that, but you know most of them. But this is powerful. If you remember what Andrew said last week, I want to expound a little bit on it. He said this: you need to be made right before you can do right. You remember that? Let me break that down a little bit more and build on it too, because again, the passage gets into specific things about what we try to do here. When God sees my sinfulness, and Jeff talked about that, maximize our sinfulness because it's huge, and understand that it's only Jesus and the work that he did on the cross that can take that away. I need to realize that my working to please God, and the Bible says this way, my righteousness, self-righteousness, that's the Pharisaic righteousness. What I do in the flesh cannot, will not be able to ever please God. So what God does is, I'll come with my righteousness, become human, live a perfect life, and take on the cross my unrighteousness. It's paid for in full. And by grace, through faith alone, I put my faith in that. And God says, forgiven, acquitted. Not only that, he takes off his righteousness and clothes me with it. I still don't get that. That's why he's pounded at home. I don't get it fully. But I'm in the process of wanting to get it. Because when I understand, we can come to the cross and say, yes, I want eternal life. Bring it on. And he says, in Colossians, we learned this when we studied the book, in the same way you received it, walk that way. How did I receive it? By grace, through faith alone. So now that I'm trusting him for eternal life and salvation, nothing changes. I still have to live out his righteousness in me. And there's where Galatians says, that's a battle. This chick wants to do his own thing every day. That's why we sing about submitting. Or when we get to chapter 12, presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. Lord, let me die to myself and live to you with your righteousness. how do we do that? By faith, and faith alone. Every day when I get up, Lord, I want to confess, I want to agree with you, I cannot live the Christian life. Only you can, through me. Jeff taught in Galatians with the big sign, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's my hope. That's my victory. Every day, if I can learn to grow more and more by faith in letting Christ rule my heart, you and I will be victorious through everything and anything. Why? That's why we talked about, I think it was Jeff, no room for boasting. It's not me who's doing it. It's Christ who's doing it in me. And Christ has already shown us he can do everything perfectly because of his righteousness. So I have to ask myself, you have to ask yourself, do I respond a lot of times when God speaks to me? Okay. Okay, four times. Or do I begin to desire to have a prayer life before God where I enter each room, no matter where I go in this book, and say, Lord, let me learn of you. Your yoke is easy. Your burden is light. The things I learn in here are so marvelous. I love his word. I just have difficulty always following it and obeying it. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Our prayer life should be, Lord, I recognize by grace through faith alone, I want to continue that. I want to depend on you to live in me. If I come humbly and willfully and sincerely to the Lord and say, I can't do it, Lord, live in me today, what do you think God's answer is going to be to that prayer? Wholeheartedly, yes. That's what I died for, that I can now live in you. So, people of hope, people who understand that the living God lives within them and has clothed them with his righteousness, I encourage you to start daily a process where you're spending time with God, asking him to help you live his righteousness in you. If you have never recognized that in order to be able to have relationship with God, my sinfulness prevents me from that, but by putting faith in the one who conquered sin and death, I can be forgiven. We invite you to do that today. There is nothing more important than your eternal salvation. Period. We don't want anyone in our sphere of experience to go without Christ. That's why we exist here at Hope, to be able to go to Transnistria and help orphans know who Jesus is, or the school down the hill, or possibly the campus college station that's coming that Tom's working on. Did you see the new buildings down here? All college kids are going to be coming here. Oh God, that we have an influence on their lives as well. Wherever you work, where you play, where you live, your neighbors, we want to have an influence of Christ's righteousness living in us, doing good deeds, but not for salvation, as evidence that the righteousness of Christ lives in me. And God will help you and I to do that. We invite you today. If you have questions on that, we always say, come up after the service. We'll pray with you. We'll talk with you. Understanding and believing who Jesus is God's work. We're only faithful to the message, and that's how we pray. So let's pray together. Father, what a message again. Over and over again, you're telling us it's by your grace, through faith, that we can experience your presence. Sins forgiven, the Holy Spirit indwelling us, empowering us to live out this life of blessedness. Help us to do that. In Jesus' name and for his glory, amen.